The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals now.
Thank you.
Oh, there it is right there. Are you kidding me? Hour number four of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning on a Cowbell Friday. Flash that. Four Suns and four guys. Flash the 4 hour number four of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning broadcasting. Gather on the transistor and press the air as you stand in front of that mirror in your Jordache jeans and your lizard skin boots. Take out that neon comb and brush back that fine feathered hair, because we all know the party's not going to be the same without you. Everybody's working for the weekend. Hang that cowbell if you got it, ladies and gentlemen. There it is. Bang it once more, Jonathan. Captain of the quad squad. Flashing the four. Go ahead and take a selfie of yourself flashing the four and send it to us.
Where's Winston? Winston's got to flash the four and send it in a selfie.
Winston McKellar. Suns in four. Here we go.
We still got a lot to get to this morning. I got a lot I want to get to.
Like what, Doug?
Oh, it's just...
I mean, honestly, we've been broadcasting 3 hours. You got a lot you want to get
still,
to?
I can't believe how much more we still have to cram into an hour. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf. We are live in the Auction Community Studios, and we have no idea when the Suns play, and we have no idea who the Suns play. That depends on what happens tonight. Game 6, Western Conference Semis. Jazz win. There's a Game 7 on Sunday in Utah. Clippers win. There's a Game 1 on Sunday in Phoenix.
I see.
That's what tonight boils down to. Jay Crowder was on Bickley and Murata yesterday, and boy, they talked about Clippers-Jazz. They talked about CP3. And the COVID positive test that he suffered. But they also talked about something else. DeAndre Ayton and who he's becoming.
Honestly, it's been a great year for us to grow and grow with him, grow together, grow as a unit. And that's what's been going taking place. Just a lot of growth in all areas, especially with him, being able to apply himself and tell his teammates what he needs. And his teammates telling him what we feel like we need out of him, and he's applying it on a nightly basis. It's been great to be a part of. And before I even came on air with you guys and to say I'm proud of him, I told him to his face I'm proud of him, especially after Game 4 in Denver. I told him I'm proud of him. And that jersey, Jokic sending the jersey to him showed his respect for you, and you got that by just playing basketball, not by talking, not by anything, but between the lines, mutual respect, and that's the most – that's the highest respect you can get from your peers, is the respect on the court, and he just earned him one by the league MVP. So that's great to see, and great to be a part of and see his growth.
Brings back so many memories for me personally. It does. Just honestly, being a young kid, 1985, trying to make your way in the National Football League, playing a sport at the highest level our species can generate. It just the alpha male, hyper-aggressive paradigm that I was walking around in, and the way that rookies were abused totally. I kid you not. Just absolutely ignored and abused, yet at the same time, if there is such a thing. And yet, to get a little love from somebody that you respected, what it would do to you and your game, it would even take you to a whole new level. It was all about coaching hard, and coaches used to coach you hard, and teammates used to coach you hard. They would, like I said, abuse you if you were a rookie. And then all of a sudden to get a Stump Mitchell or an Otis Anderson who would walk up to me and say, "Hey, you're okay." I can't even tell you what that used to do to me. And they knew exactly what they were doing as leaders on the team. And Jay Crowder knows exactly what he's doing when he walks up to DeAndre Ayton and he says, "I'm proud of you." little bit of sugar right now, and that sugar's going to carry him for a long, long time. And then all of a sudden you might actually coach him a little bit harder down the road. Once again, why? Because you know how incredibly talented this human being is in DeAndre Ayton. And you will not let him accept anything but his best, getting every piece of talent out of himself. You won't let him do that. And the way you do that is you stay on him until he proves there's nothing more to drain.
You can win tickets to the first Suns home Western Conference Finals game in 10 years, and over 10 years, to 11 years. Just text TICKET to 620-620 for your chance to score the hottest tickets in town. Do you want to go see Game 1 or Game 3, depending on where we're playing? Text TICKET to 620-620. Ever hear the name Lomas Brown?
I have.
Ever hear the name Herman Moore?
Yes.
The former Lions have a podcast now.
Oh, okay.
They're interviewing the kicker, Jason Hansen.
Okay.
He talks about somebody that you know.
This is dangerous.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe this, but when I first came into the NFL, I had hair. So I actually had a hair dryer.
Yes.
You could blow dry my hair.
It was long and flowing too, yeah. Jason. It was long.
Yeah. I mean, my receding hairline, I should have known what was coming, but I had some hair. So I remember my locker was on the other side of the locker room, but by the showers, close to the showers, was Spielman's, was Chris, and Dan Owens and some of those guys. And again, I had too much self-confidence. I was walking to the shower with my hair dryer. I remember Chris and Dan were looking at me like, we cannot wait to absolutely crush and throw away your piece of junk hair dryer. So I would be in there blowing my hair, and I would see Chris looking at me with pure hatred. Right, no football player should be in there feathering his hair, and every fifth day I would be like, guys, where's my hair dryer? Where's my hair dryer? So I spent half my locker room career. Those guys would be like, don't ever bring that in here again. Either breaking my hair dryer or hiding it. I mean, these are not the NFL stories you want to hear, but I should have taken the hint. It wasn't cool.
Jeez. You would love old locker room stories.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That is Chris Spielman right there, as old school as you want to get.
I'm going to break your hair.
Man, I'll tell you, he was a tough, tough proposition. You go ahead and stick your face on a Chris Spielman, you better have a bucket. You better get ready. Man, he was Shane Conlon. Do you remember Shane Conlon?
Oh, yeah,
Conlon?
Yeah.
Another guy, Shane Conlon. Harry Carson. Oh, my goodness. Harry Carson, it hurt. It hurt to hit him. He was just brutal.
Coming up next.
Mike Singletary.
What is the best case scenario for the Suns? Adrian Wojnarowski with an important tweet about tonight's Game 6 and how it might affect the Suns. That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Lawrence Taylor.
The number one story of the day.
Could you share what your personal reaction was to getting the news about Chris Paul testing positive for COVID, Jay?
It's just a little adversity to where you want to be, and that's to be the last team standing. So we're where you need to be. We'll be fine.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter.
Just going to do the next right thing.
Honestly, it's not that difficult. It's two teams. We're preparing for both of them.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
The One is actually Adrian Wojnarowski, in which Woj has sent out a tweet saying Donovan Mitchell is a game-time decision and Mike Conlon is working towards playing today. Now, that's pretty generic. I mean, I don't want to act like that's breaking news because it doesn't specifically say these guys are playing. But it is interesting that it sounds like the Jazz are seeing what they can do to try to get both of them on the court today. Now, if you get the Donovan Mitchell version that was in Game 5, it's not really news whether he plays. He just wasn't all that effective.
Yeah.
But there's something there of if you get both of those guys, and if you're a Suns fan, remember how huge this is. CP3 has got the clear protocols to be able to play. You want as much time as possible, so a Game 7 helps. But a Game 7 in the Western Conference semis only happens if the Jazz win tonight.
Yeah, I just think in Game 5 right there, I really do, especially playing at home, the Jazz were like, all is well. All is well right now. We all know you don't have Kawhi Leonard, and I think we know what that means. You don't have Kawhi. We're playing at home. All is well. Even though Mike Conley was not able to play. I honestly think that that reared its head in that game. And I know you could say, hey, Wolf, they had the whole game to make an adjustment. Can I tell you right now, that is the most dangerous way you could possibly think as a professional athlete or as any athlete, that you're going to be able to midstream in the middle of a game change things. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible to tap into the rage tree. But if you haven't really prepared yourself correctly leading up to that, you're in trouble. And it's not a switch you can just flip easily. It is not. It's one of the reasons why you see upsets happen all the time in every sport. I mean, we know that there are teams that are inferior to superior teams. We know that. How are they able to win? How are they able to beat? The other team does not play well. So much of the time, throughout the entire game, they don't play well. Why is that? So much of that has got to do with preparation. This is no different when we talk about the Suns. We talk about the Jazz and the Clippers and who you might want to play. I think the Jazz are going to be desperate for Game 6 tonight. Even though it's in L.A., I think they're going to be desperate. I think they win it. And then hopefully Game 7, here we go. And then who wins that? I don't know. Who do you want to see the Suns play? That is the question we ask. We want a Game 7. That much we know. Who do you want to win the series? Jazz or Clippers? For me, I think it's the Clippers. I want the Clippers, I think. As a matter of fact, I do. I want the Clippers, and the reason why I want the Clippers is because they're tankers. I mean, that just drives me nuts. I was so offended when it happened and said as much on the air. Offended that that would ever happen, where you would so obviously tank the way that the Clippers did to try to avoid the Lakers. And the Suns didn't and took the Lakers on right from the get. Man, I love that. Tankers. Not only that, too, without Kawhi Leonard, that's the real deal. I don't think they're the same team without Kawhi Leonard. I think they played great in Game 5 against the Jazz without Kawhi because they were terrified, because they knew what that meant and what they were going to be faced with had they lost Game 5. I don't think they're as good a team. As a matter of fact, there's no way. You're never going to be able to convince me they're as good a team without Kawhi Leonard.
No. To the Rockets, man. Like, that's what we're doing right now. We're doing this to the Rockets. And then to follow that up, we're doing it to OKC. Has anybody watched OKC this year? That's what we're doing, Clippers. We're losing to the Rockets and to OKC to solidify a spot that we don't have to play the Lakers at the sixth seed. Wow. I get the strategy behind it. I understand that from a basketball, you know, purist. I see that. That's a better matchup for you. Understand that. But wow, that if I'm the Lakers or if I'm that's y'all running away from us like that, huh? You guys are really running away from us like that. What does that say about your team? Again, I don't want to hear any of this talk like, whoa, it wasn't planned. Dude. Stop it.
Right. I'm not ripping Jay for that opinion. I think it's a great opinion. However, do you hear where he was leading there? His opinion is leading to you've given the Lakers the upper hand in your pending matchup by trying to run from them.
Sure.
Well, the Lakers don't have a matchup with the Clippers.
The best laid plans of mice and men, Douglas.
And it's actually going to work in a completely opposite way, I think, than the Clippers thought. I don't think the Clippers, because they didn't know how it was going to match up. But the Clippers never thought that it's going to be Suns Lakers and the Suns are going to knock off the Lakers and then face us. And now you have the easy bulletin board for Monty Williams to say, and it's not just, I mean, it's totally true. The Clippers were afraid to play the Lakers, so they tanked because they thought they were going to have a better chance against everybody else. So you did the dirty work to knock off the Lakers for them so they could knock you off. Just let that burn. let that feeling overwhelm you that that Clippers team was afraid of the Lakers and they ain't afraid of you.
I want to see this. I want to see the Clippers. I want to see the Clippers because the Suns would have home court, of course, in this series. I want to see the Clippers because of the tanking. And I want to see the Clippers because of Paul George. Remember Paul George and Devin Booker in two of the three games? There was a real dust-up between those two
within
guys
the right NBA there. Type of dust-up.
Absolutely, yeah. Douglas. Yes, of course.
Not Donnybrook status.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that, ladies and gentlemen. Are you kidding me? I'm not 23 again. Okay? I'm just telling you right now, it was the intensity. Oh, the intensity drain, baby. That's what I love. What are you going to do about it? That's the nature of competition, ladies and gentlemen. Competition is an overt, aggressive act. It is. It says I'm better than you. And I'm going to prove it right here in front of everybody that is watching. I mean, that's the intensity right there that I'm talking about, man. And that's the kind of intensity I think the Suns team is going to respond really, really well to. Especially what they've learned here. And the way they've grown in the postseason. I want the Clippers. Pretty resolute on that now.
Jeremy Brown tweeted the show. We told you, hashtag flash the four, guaranteed retweet to other Doug and Wolf followers. He's all masked up.
He's masked?
And in his surgical gear.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I stepped out of surgery to flash the four. Let's go, Suns and four. Yeah.
Are you serious? Here we go.
That's fantastic.
A surgeon, nice.
That's fantastic. Jeremy Brown tweeting us in his whole surgical gear. I stepped out of surgery to flash the four. Suns and four. Hashtag Suns and four.
Okay, buddy.
That's pretty fantastic. Coming up next, let's get the latest on the injury front for the Utah Jazz and what to expect. Normally, we don't have a beat reporter on the show to cover a series we're not in.
No.
But would you agree tonight is pretty enormous for the future of the Suns to get Chris Paul back?
Yes.
We need the Jazz to win, so we'll talk to Jazz beat reporter Ben Anderson from KSL next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals now.
Turn it up.
For the first time, I think in the history of our organization, I could be wrong, everyone in Maricopa County is a Jazz fan tonight. To try to get us to a game seven to give Chris Paul more time. Game one is Tuesday night if there's a game seven in Jazz Clippers, and it is Sunday if the Clippers win tonight. And joining us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line is Ben Anderson. Ben has three jobs: beat reporter for the Jazz for KSL in Salt Lake City. He's the co-host of Jazz Notes podcast on KSL Sports. And his third job is to guarantee that the Jazz win tonight and lose game seven because we want to play the Clippers. Hello, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good.
Yeah, Ben. Really appreciate your time.
Give us a health update. How healthy are the Jazz for tonight?
Well, unfortunately, they're not very healthy. I mean, the fact that Donovan Mitchell's working towards a game time decision—I don't—I don't know if I've actually heard that description. Of
I haven't either.
Before. If I'm working towards a coin toss on whether I'm going to play or not, I'm not sure that's necessarily a good sign. But of course, Jazz fans are going to be happy if Mike Conley can return. But at this point, I mean, after the loss on Wednesday night at home, when you heard Kawhi Leonard was going to be out and the Jazz felt like they had all the momentum back in the series, and then they still lost, and it's clear Donovan Mitchell's not playing anywhere close to 100%. I think they felt I think they feel like their playoff hopes are shattered a little bit, so you guys might want to start getting ready for that Sunday game.
Wow.
Oh, Ben, boy, I hope he, you know what, honestly, I hope you're wrong on that one right there. In regard to Donovan Mitchell, what percentage chance, I mean, not chance, what percentage would you say he's playing at right now?
Well, right now he can't take anyone off the dribble. I mean, they're switching him onto Marcus Morris, and he can't get past him off the dribble, which, you know, in the first round he was beating whoever he wanted to.
Right.
Dylan Brooks, I mean, he was torching Dylan Brooks, and Dylan Brooks is one of the better defensive players in the NBA right now. So you see when that part of his game drops off, it's kind of central to everything that he does, because then he can't hit that step back three-pointer because you're not giving him any space. And when he can't get into the paint, he can't create for others, which means the three-point shooting is gone for the Jazz. So they're dribbling into a lot of those threes now instead of getting spot up. So, I mean, honestly, it might be 50%. His ankle might feel better than that, but the way it affects his game, that's how much it takes away, because if he can't get into the paint, he can't get to the foul line. He takes that pressure off the opposing team, and it just makes it so much easier to defend this Jazz offense. But maybe Mike Conley coming back allows the Jazz to get some more of that dribble penetration, which they've missed so badly.
Based on what you said a little bit ago, I admit I'm a little crushed by it. So I have to ask, we were hoping, and maybe that's what it is hope. We were hoping that even though the offense in the first half of Game 5 was fantastic, maybe the reason why a good defensive team in the Jazz were kind of laying an egg is the overconfidence of they don't have Kawhi, we're going to be fine. And that was going to be erased in Game 6. I was thinking Jazz win Game 6 because they're over that now. And Paul George isn't going to be able to do that again. It sounds like I sold you nothing on that point. What? Tell me more about the Jazz and why you think this is going to be a massive struggle tonight.
Well, I do think the Clippers have the confidence, and that's the one thing that I think has always been weird about the Clippers. The talent's never been the question. Now I get when they don't have Kawhi Leonard that this is a different roster, but when they have the confidence and they believe in themselves that they can play well, they seem to figure it out. It's when they lose, you know, Game 5 when they're up 3-1 and it feels like things so quickly fall apart. Now, for the Jazz credit, if the Jazz come out and have a big first quarter and let's say, you know, they're up 32-17 because it just so happens the Clippers have a bad night, and you're right, the Jazz are playing decent defense and Mike Conley comes back and plays well, maybe it falls apart for them again. But I was really shocked that the Jazz went – I mean, they hit 10 threes in the first quarter in Game 5. And the Clippers hung with them punch for punch. I just didn't think they were that mentally strong, especially without Kawhi Leonard. So there might be something, whether it was getting battle tested in the first round against the Dallas Mavericks, that has put them in a spot where they're actually kind of ready to make a run, or seriously ready to compete better than I feel like they have in years past. But you're right. I mean, if Kawhi Leonard doesn't come out and look like Kevin Durant, which is what it felt like to me the other night when he was hitting every mid-range shot, getting to the paint, getting and ones, and getting his teammates involved and grabbing whatever 16 or 17 rebounds, if he doesn't go supernova tonight, you know, the Jazz didn't have Donovan Mitchell at 100%, and they didn't have Mike Conley, and I think they lost by 6. I mean, it wasn't like that was a blowout the other night. There's an argument for the Jazz to make this game. I just think it's going to be tough without Donovan Mitchell. But you're right, the defense has carried them all season, and they've been one of the most resilient teams in the NBA. That was the first time they'd ever lost 3 games in a row at any point this year. So they just really haven't had bad stretches of basketball. And as soon as it seems like they're about to fall apart, it happened a couple of times this year, they found a way to win a game and kind of jumpstart things. So it's possible they could get back into the series tonight.
Ben, do you think that Donovan Mitchell felt slighted at all by not being named to the All-NBA team?
I'm sure he did a little bit. He's always played with a chip on his shoulder. It's not, you know, the biggest chip on his shoulder the way some guys, that's kind of the only thing they have. But he's talked a lot about going back to high school. He broke his wrist and didn't end up as a 4-star recruit and saw all of his friends getting offers to go to major schools. And so he came back and worked really hard. You know, he ended up going to Louisville with Rick Pitino. It wasn't like he ended up being an overlooked star, but he's talked a little bit about having that chip on his shoulder. He also missed the last 16 games of the regular season, and the Jazz were still good. And that tends to hurt guys, whether it's an MVP candidacy. Mm-hmm. I think you saw that with Joel Embiid or even an All-NBA appearance. And, you know, probably hurt that it cost him $33 million. I bet that wasn't his favorite thing. But I don't know if that's the type of, you know, diss or if that's the type of slight that he's going to take and say, hey, this is my edge I'm going to turn on, and that's going to allow me to be better. He's really, you know, not struggled to be fantastic throughout the playoffs until this injury caught up to him.
This is Ben Anderson, Jazz beat reporter for KSL in Salt Lake, and had the courage to stand up and says, you know, he thinks the Clippers win the series tonight. So since you've proven your unbiasedness, I'm just going to ask this one and see where you take it. They're both healthy. Who do you want, Donovan Mitchell or Devin Booker?
I'm going to take Donovan Mitchell, and I understand why Suns fans love Devin Booker and what he's done at his age and the number of points he's put up and the development he's had. And I actually think some of the stuff he does from the mid-range is extremely important in the playoffs because everyone takes away the foul or everyone takes away layups and everyone takes away the three-point line. So your ability to get into that mid-range is really terrific. I've just seen the specialness from Donovan Mitchell since his first year in the league. It's one of, you know, it's like David Robinson and Carmelo Anthony are the only players as rookies to score 20 points per game and lead their team to the playoffs as rookies. He's just continuously kind of exceeded expectations. And when you don't think there's a next level and he's playing hurt like he does this year, he goes down, he averages more than a point a minute through the playoffs. And you know, they steamrolled the Memphis Grizzlies once he came back. And they took the 2-0 lead against the Clippers when he was at 75%. So there's a winning thing there that I've seen that I didn't see with the Clippers or with the Suns until they got Chris Paul. And look, Chris Paul is just an absolute fabulous superstar. He's just one of the five best point guards we've ever seen. I think we're seeing the impact he's had on Devin Booker and the rest of that team. But, you know, there's no argument Devin Booker's a terrific player.
Ben, are the Broncos going to get Aaron Rodgers?
Where did that come from?
Now you want me to prognosticate about it?
I just thought maybe you're up there, maybe you heard something, you know, maybe you got some type of, I don't know, inside information.
We certainly have a lot. You know, we have 49ers fans because Steve Young went to BYU not too far from where we are, and then, of course, Alex Smith was the number one pick from the University of Utah, and then there's, of course, their fair share of Broncos fans as well. Yeah, I think they'd love to get Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. Are they willing to give up the pieces they need? Certainly Green Bay can hold on to Aaron Rodgers much longer.
Well done. Well done.
Ben, thank you for your time, man. Really appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. There's Ben Anderson from the from KSL Sports who covers the Utah Jazz. I admit, I totally disagree with his reasoning on Donovan Mitchell being over Devin Booker because he used the winning card. And yes, winning's important.
Rocky Mountain High, man.
Did you see what the Suns were putting around their guy? He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned car, check out CoulterCadillacTempe.com and experience the difference. Is there any chance the Suns are the most dangerous team in the NBA? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals now.
I had absolutely no problem at all getting through this week of no Suns basketball. I'm okay. But I'm kind of sick of it now. I don't want to wait to find out what happens tonight in Game 6. I want to know. I want a Game 7, and I don't even know if I want to go through the pain of waiting for it. Clippers Jazz tonight. I wouldn't care if Chris Paul hadn't tested positive. If the Chris Paul effect wasn't involved in this, I wouldn't care whether it goes 6 or 7 games. I would actually kind of argue 6. I'd like the Suns to play Sunday and not have the rest be that long. But now because of the Chris Paul COVID positive test, you were all in on a Tuesday night game one.
Oh yeah.
So you have to have the Jazz win tonight in order for that to happen. And that it's such a big deal that I'm tired of talking about it. I'm ready for it to go. Like every year in the NFL draft, let's just have it out. 15 years, I've never told you this. You drive me crazy every April.
What are you talking about?
The draft is cool. And every April, you just go, I'm so sick of the speculation.
Oh, it's just ridiculous.
Can we just get here?
I don't even understand why you would say that.
Right, I love because, the NFL draft.
Oh, it's
now,
stop it.
I feel
we're
like
talking,
you.
We're sitting around talking about a bunch of guys that who even knows if they're going to be able to play.
It's cool to run the draft. It's cool to think about the trades. It's cool to look at the players.
Yeah.
It's
don't even
awesome.
Know if they're players.
You can, but if you watch it,
they're
you
human
know.
Human beings with talent. That's what they are.
And then people make excuses
you
don't for. Yeah,
know.
See, that's. That's the way I mean.
You're just
people make
ridiculous.
Excuses for general managers. I
oh,
love the draft.
Oh, my goodness. It's just so soft.
Today, I'm sick of the speculation. I want the game to be over. I want to know. Let's go. Tired of it.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I think everybody here in the basin feels exactly the same way as you do on that one, Douglas. Honestly, let's get this thing. Let's get a little clarity right now, right? What makes the Suns a dangerous team? Why do I think the Suns are a dangerous team?
Look at you reading the show
sheet. Why do I think nobody wants to talk about the Phoenix Suns? Number one, I'll tell you this, their defense right now, right? It's part of their DNA. It's part of their culture. It's part of who they are. Devin Booker has already said, this is who we fall back on. This is what we fall back on. Guys that can play defense and our defense, that's what we do. That's who we are. That makes them dangerous. And the reason why is because they're a talented team as well. And they got two guys that can close out games. Two guys, Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Those two guys plus a lot of role players that are really, really talented and play well within that team concept. And then here's the third thing, and this to me is what makes the Suns, without a doubt, the most dangerous team. The third thing is the fact they're not done getting better. They're still evolving, I think, as a defense. They're still evolving as an offense. They're still evolving as a team. They're not done getting better yet. That's because they have so many guys that are young that are still growing before our very eyes. Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Campaign. Oh, DeAndre Ayton. Even Devin Booker I'd throw in there to some degree. This is a dangerous team because they're not a finished product like a lot of these other teams.
The other thing is, you've got to get hyped up already as a Suns fan here. I mean, it's weird to talk about this on a Friday because we don't know. There's a very good chance there's a game downtown Sunday. The game one to determine who's going to the NBA Finals. I mean, as we sit here and kind of worry about, is it a game six or is it a game seven? Yeah. You got to be ready to flip that switch because we just had Ben Anderson on from KSL. This guy gets paid to cover the Jazz. And when we were trying to get excited of a Jazz victory tonight to force a game seven, he said,
well, unfortunately, they're not very healthy. I mean, the fact that Donovan Mitchell's working towards a game time decision, I don't know if I've actually heard that description.
I haven't either.
Before.
What he's referring to is an Adrian Wojnarowski tweet that said he's working towards a game time decision. Well, either way, it's game time decision, isn't it? But anyway.
If I'm working towards a coin toss on whether I'm going to play or not, I'm not sure that's necessarily a good sign. But, of course, Jazz fans are going to be happy if Mike Conley can return. But at this point, I mean, after the loss on Wednesday night at home, when you heard Kawhi Leonard was going to be out and the Jazz felt like they had all the momentum back in the series, and then they still lost, and it's clear Donovan Mitchell's not playing anywhere close to 100%. I think they felt I think they feel like their playoff hopes are shattered a little bit, so you guys might want to start getting ready for that Sunday game.
So the beat reporter for the Jazz says, I think they feel like their playoff hopes are shattered, and he wasn't talking about the Clippers.
What? I'm sorry. When he said that, though, I was a little surprised at that. I mean, are they that soft collectively as a team? Is that what he's saying?
I mean, maybe it's more of you don't have either Conley or Donovan Mitchell that can play well enough to beat the Clippers.
Hey, I'm sorry.
And
I just don't buy it.
I want to believe that too, but here's the catch. If he's right, I mean, the Suns need to get ready for Sunday. We need to get ready for Sunday.
Man. Wow. I'm not ready for that yet. I'm not ready. Game seven, here we go. Come on now. This is the Utah Jazz we're talking about. This is the number one seed overall in the NBA.
This game is huge tonight. I mean, does anybody feel it?
There's no Kawhi Leonard.
Game one Sunday without Chris Paul is somewhat likely.
They're going to need Marcus Morris to go out there again and light it up from three.
Or a game one Tuesday with Chris Paul. I mean, that's what might be determined by tonight.
Okay.
It could be that big of a deal here. Are you ready for a Sunday game? Because if the you better be ready to bring it as a fan base. If the Clippers win tonight, you've got Suns fans on trial as the nation's darling Sunday afternoon. Here we go.
By the way, don't forget this, ladies and gentlemen. The Suns are going to make a statement on Chris Paul tomorrow.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you what, this is going to be an interesting Friday night, right? Waiting for that, getting up, watching cartoons, and waiting for the Suns' statement.
If the Clippers win tonight, just to wrap this up, the Suns make a statement tomorrow on whether Chris Paul plays the next day.
Wow.
I mean,
this is going to be shocking.
It just goes bang, bang, bang if the Clippers win tonight. Go Jazz. I think that's my U. Go Jazz.
Give me the U.
How did the show make you feel? Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the U.
The U.
brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show, Sons and Four Dad listens to Doug and Wolf. Go Jazz.
You ripped me off, Douglas. That is might as well. Peace and strength.